Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. Welcome back to another week that we have here in the summer to dive into God's Word. If you were with us last week, we were in 1 Thessalonians. We made it through a little bit of Paul's intro where he talks to the Thessalonians and prepares them to grow in spiritual maturity so that they can prepare themselves for the coming of the kingdom of God. So if you weren't with us last week, I would encourage you to go listen. And we're back again and we're ready to go. And again, the Lord keeps showing up. And I don't know about you, but post-Pentecost, every time we ask the Holy Spirit to come again, we had Pentecost a couple weeks ago, every time we ask for more of the Holy Spirit, every time we open ourselves up to what God wants to do and to a fresh outpouring, one of the things that always happens for me is, again, a renewed and fresh zeal for God's Word, because this is what the Spirit of God does in us. And recently, I came across a beautiful quote by a spiritual writer, a Christian writer, E. Stanley Jones, and he was talking about scripture. And I want to share this quote with you because this, friends, has become my prayer as I'm opening up God's Word. And we're still going to read our psalm as we head into the scripture that we're going to take up today, which we're going to actually be in the words of Jesus. We're going to start and begin a little section on John chapter 14 through 16, and we're going to spend some time there. But I want to read you this quote here because I thought it was so beautiful. E. Stanley Jones says this: "Every day I go to these words and I ask them, have you seen him whom my soul loves? And the words take me by the hand and lead me beyond the words to him who is the word." That's a hymn on scripture. And I love that so much. It's so beautiful. You may notice or you may not this wording of the Song of Songs. When you go into the Song of Songs, the book in scripture, there's a passage where the bride is running around looking for the bridegroom. And she's saying, have you seen him? Have you seen the one that my soul loves? And she's trying to find her bridegroom. And I love this image and this posture of going to scripture and in the Holy Spirit, asking the scriptures, asking the word, saying, have you seen the one who my soul loves? Have you seen Jesus? And that as we pray that, the words that we read today, the words that we read in our own prayer time, we encounter those words and those human words that we read every day, the words that we read in all kinds of other books that show up here in the scriptures, the thes and the ands and the, you know, all of the things that string together to make a sentence, they lead us beyond the physical words to the Word of God. Jesus, the Word made flesh. And I just think this is such a beautiful posture, and one, as we continue to go deeper and deeper, that as we've been journeying together, friends, we've been seeing how we encounter God's Word and it's powerful and it changes us. And as we go deeper, we see that it reveals Jesus to us. But again, friends, the Lord, again, in a new season, wants to take us now deeper and deeper to encounter not just like the person of Jesus as we know him, but encounter our bridegroom. And that's what I love so much about this quote. It's this posture that today, this week, as we enter into a new week, approaching God's word, we say, please, please, Word of God, take us to the one who our soul loves. Help us find the one whom our soul loves, that Jesus is inviting you through God's word, not just to an encounter of power, not just to an encounter of change, but to a deep, deep intimacy, to know him like you've never known him before. So we just pray that. We pray that today as we enter into our psalm, and we're going to take up a little bit of John chapter 14 today, and we'll get through a little bit tomorrow, and then we'll pick it up tomorrow. But let's begin with our prayer. We ended last week in Psalm 16. We're going to pick up reading a little bit of Psalm 17 as an opening prayer. If you'll join me, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hear me, Lord. My plea is just. Listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart, though you examine me at night and test me, you will find that I have planned no evil. My mouth has not transgressed. Though people tried to bribe me, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent through what your lips have commanded. My steps have held to your paths. My feet have not stumbled. I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. Lord Jesus, we come before you today, and as we approach the scriptures, we just pray this. Keep us as the apple of your eye. Hide us in this place of delight, in this place where you treasure us in the shadow of your wings. Hide us from evil. Keep our hearts pure. And Lord, as we approach you and approach your throne, we pray this. Have you seen him whom my soul loves? Take us to you through your word. Deepen our intimacy with you as we approach you in your word. And we ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, as I said all last week, I love going through the Psalms because the Psalms give us so many words to pray that we don't even know how to pray. And I love this. As David's crying out to the Lord, I think there's a way that this can become our own prayer. It says, let my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. How many of us have ever been in a situation where we're like, no, I know what is right. This is the right thing. My vision is the right thing. This person is wrong. I'm in a situation like that right now. And I want to justify myself. And I want everybody to know I'm not in the wrong. And this person is in the wrong. And this prayer of David is so beautiful because he's saying, purify my heart. Purify my heart, Lord. Let my vindication come from you because you see what is right. And that is enough for me. So beautiful. So let's quickly, we have a few minutes left here today, and we're going to begin John chapter 14, and we're going to continue on it tomorrow. And I love the beginning of this chapter because it's entitled Jesus, the Way to the Father. It's such a beautiful title. It shows us exactly what we're going to talk about. But in John chapter 13, we see Jesus beginning his Last Supper discourse. And John 13 through 17, he'll be speaking with his disciples at the Last Supper. He washed his disciples' feet in John 13. And he kind of begins to speak in a veiled sense about what's coming next. You know, it's where he says, you know, I'm going to go away. And the disciples are like, where are you going? Can we come with you? You know, and they don't really know exactly what he's saying. And John 14 through 17 particularly are some of the most powerful passages in all of scripture. We see some beautiful promises from Jesus. We see his command, and we see him over and over and over again revealing the heart of the Father in the face of his suffering. So this is all Jesus is saying right before he knows he's about to be arrested and go and suffer, which I think makes it all the more powerful. So we're going to read a little bit today and we'll continue on tomorrow. So John 14, starting with verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth, you know him and have seen him. We're going to stop there. That's the first 7 verses because we want to break some of this down before we run out of time today. Again, I love the beginning of this passage, and we could spend a lot of time just on the first line. Let not your hearts be troubled. I love this particular line. One, I mean, it's so powerful. It's such a powerful encouragement from Jesus. But this is coming on the heels of immediately after Jesus tells Peter that he will deny him 3 times. So right at the end of chapter 13, we see Jesus basically saying, I am going to go and I'm going to die. And Peter, in his zeal and in his love for Jesus, says, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Let me go with you. He just had his feet washed by Jesus and he wants to be with him forever and stay with him. And Jesus says to Peter, I appreciate your zeal, but before the cock crows three times, you will deny me. You will deny me. And Peter's like reeling from this. He's like, what do you mean I will deny you? I love you. I will go with you anywhere. I will follow you. And then Jesus reveals to Peter this failure in his heart, this idea that your heart's not strong enough to follow me. You will deny me. It's unbelievably distressing words. Jesus responds by saying, but don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm telling you, I will go away. I need to go away. I will die. You will all be scattered. You won't be able to follow me. You won't be able to be with me. Extremely distressing things. But he says the response of the disciple, don't let your hearts be troubled. And it's kind of shocking. The disciples, it's kind of like reading what's going on with the disciples. It's like, what do you mean don't let your hearts be troubled? What do you mean have peace? What do you mean just have faith? What do you mean just believe in God and also in me? What do you mean? These are distressing things. And I think sometimes in our own lives, we can look at this. We look at different places where he says, have no anxiety about anything. Have peace in your hearts. Let your hearts not be troubled. And we look at Jesus and we say, what do you mean? Let not your hearts be troubled. And we read this and we say, this is great, but this couldn't be for me. Because if you look at my life, there's so many things that my hearts could be troubled about, that our hearts could be troubled about. Jesus, look at the world. Look at the economy. What do you mean, let our hearts not be troubled? Look at my life. What do you mean, let not my heart be troubled? Yeah, that's amazing, but you don't know this situation that I'm in. You don't know the situation that my family's facing. You don't know how many things I could be troubled about. And Jesus, he looks at our lives. He looks at our hearts. He looks at me. He looks at you. Because I was having this conversation with Jesus earlier. I'm like, Jesus, what do you mean? How can my heart not be troubled? What about this situation that's so painful? What about this hurt that someone is causing me? What about this thing that seems impossible? What about this situation that my loved ones are facing that doesn't seem like it's going to go away? And he says, Rachel, I know you. I know your sufferings. I know your life. I know the things that threaten to steal your joy. And amidst all of that, even with the disciples, amidst me going away and dying, amidst you denying me, amidst the persecution that will come, amidst all the dominoes that will fall, do not let your hearts be troubled. Not in spite, not like because your circumstances are going to work out, but be in spite of your circumstances, because of your circumstances, do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus is communicating to us what allows us to have peace is belief in Jesus. Not in the circumstances. Our hearts are not troubled because of who he is, because of what he will do, because of the rock that he provides for us in the storm. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Even though the circumstances you're facing are difficult, even though it's hard to trust, this encouragement from the Lord, wherever you are today, friends, let not your hearts be troubled. And the way to that life of peace is faith in God. I know it sounds like so simple and we know it's not that easy, but God wants to give you the faith today to live on a pathway of peace so that no matter what you're going through, your heart will not be troubled. Join me again tomorrow as we pick this word back up. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.